Welcome back to Mountain Money. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, this was a weekend when a lot of people went out for the first time on their skis at Park City Mountain, and it's also the time of year when people are thinking about new gear. And for those of you who are thinking about new gear, there's probably no one better to talk to than our next guest, Michael Strawn, the hard goods buyer at Kohl Sport. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for coming to Mountain Money.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's start by the 30,000-foot view. What's going on in ski equipment in particular? What's new? What's interesting?
There's been some major changes over the last few years, for sure, in skiing. And things have gotten a lot easier, a lot more comfortable. I mean, I think we all remember the days when we used to have to... What's going on up there?
Well, what you're hearing is the sound of KPCW expansion. So our short-term pain is long-term gain. Sorry that you have to go through it, but it'll probably be worth it.
I'm sticking with the giant woodpeckers invading KPCW.
Anyway, Michael, just let's keep going.
Okay.
So,
go ahead. So boots have gotten way more comfortable, easier to get in and out of. Skis have gotten a lot easier to ski on. Lighter weight, you know, equipment used to be heavy, it used to be uncomfortable to get on, and those have been the biggest advances there. It's broadened the range of people that can actually get out and go and do it. The entry-level skier can have a lot more fun. If you guys are skiers, you remember those first couple of years when you tried to ski, it was a painful, excruciating experience. It certainly, the progress rate is fairly slow when you're first starting out, but things have gotten a lot better, where it's a lot easier to get into the sport.
So, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I was fortunate, for whatever reason, my family thought it was important. The family goes skiing every year, so I've been skiing since I was 6 or 7 years old. But my experience in Cleveland, Ohio, buying ski equipment, first my parents paid for it, which was lovely. I miss those days. And then eventually I paid for it. My experience going to a store like Kohl's in Park City was very different than my experience in Cleveland. So I want to talk about the people you have, sure, and the experience they have. And I'm just briefly going to share the first time I bought a good pair of ski boots was here in Park City. It happened to be at your store, actually. And I was shocked because when I had bought ski boots before, a person would come out with 9, 10, 12 boots, try them on, which one do you want? And I get to Kohl Sports and they tell me to take off my shoes. And the person that's going to share, here's some boots to consider, spends 5 minutes just examining my foot and just pushing up it in different areas. And then he comes back and he's got two pairs of boots. And I try them both on. They both felt good. And I'm like, well, where's the other 10? He's like, there are no other 10. You should choose this boot or that boot. Which one do you like better? What is the experience that of a professional boot fitter that can do something like that?
Well, number one, they're all skiers, right? And they're experienced skiers. They're high-level skiers, and they understand that the equipment itself is a very important part of the package. Boots are by far the most important part that you can have because, you know, a bad day in boots doesn't mean anything if you've got a decent pair of skis on, right? If you've got a decent pair of skis on and your boots are killing you, you're still going to have a bad day. And all of our guys understand that there's lots of good brands out there. There's lots of good product out there. But we take a look at the foot and decide what's best for your foot. In every single brand, there are different lasts. There are different widths. There are different performance levels. And our guys all have the knowledge because we do a lot of training. Plus, they usually come with some form of boot fitting background to know that I take a look at your foot and I bring out maybe 2 and sometimes 3 different boots in depending upon the circumstance. But after that, you know, you as a consumer, you start to get confused. If I bring out 10 different pairs of boots for you to try, all of a sudden you're going, wait, what did that one feel like? I can't remember. Can we put that one back on? So really our guys have do a really good job identifying what's going to be best for you, give you a couple different options, and usually that's by the end of it, you're on your way.
And there have been some changes in the ability to customize a boot to a particular foot in the last few years. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely approach all of our boot sales with the custom fit approach, right? A footbed is the most important. That's the foundation of the boot itself. If your foot's standing flat in there and not supported, I mean, this is an athletic sport. You're very aggressive out there. If we're not supporting you or your foot in the proper manner, you know, it's going to do you no good. It's going to cause fatigue. It's going to cause all kinds of other issues. So that's the foundation. But then the boot manufacturers themselves have now built a lot of products out there where we can actually take the shell itself. The plastics are moldable. And we can take and manipulate the shell around the foot. A lot of people have bunions or collapsed ankles or, you know, six toes, whatever else. We've seen some funky stuff for sure. And everybody's feet are unique. And we can customize the boot itself to those feet.
If you're just joining us this morning, our guest is Michael Strawn. He is the hard goods buyer at Cole Sports here in Park City. So we're a business show. We love talking about skiing, but we should probably weave in a business aspect. And I think given what's happening with the trade war with China right now, I know a lot of this stuff is made in China. Has that had an impact on availability or cost of these products?
In skis, boots, and bindings, it hasn't had any effect because most of that stuff is still built in Europe, luckily. It's the helmets and the goggles and the ski poles and the clothing and gloves and things like that. That stuff has all been manufactured in China for years, and that's where we've seen some impact there. It's not going to necessarily have an effect for this season because a lot of the stuff that we purchase, I've already made all my orders for this year back in March, and our soft goods buyer, half the stuff that she buys, she was done in February of 2018. So we didn't quite have the issue that we're going to have going into 2021. So this year, everybody should be fairly safe as far as pricing goes.
So talk to us about that, because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see. So the cool new skis and boots and gear that we're seeing in the stores December 2nd, mm-hmm. When did you make the decisions to buy it, and when were those goods likely somewhere in a warehouse somewhere in the United States?
So I start previewing for 2021 now. I'm already looking at next year's stuff. Our soft goods buyer has already been doing that 2 months before this. And my orders are all finalized by March 1st, March 15th at the latest.
For the following season?
Yes, for the following season. The development cycle, because I used to work on that side too, is actually a year ahead of that. So they're 2 years ahead right now, working on from the brand's perspective. That stuff usually starts landing in the U.S. in warehouses about the 1st of July is the earliest. Certain retailers around the country that do sales for Labor Day and things like that, they'll start to get their product August 1st. We're still in summer mode with patio and bike, so we don't take our stuff in really until about the 1st of September, and we do our big flip over to be a full ski shop by October 1st. But there's definitely some lead time involved.
One of the things about fashion is we see hemlines go up and down, we see colors change, we see ties get wider and shorter. Skis don't seem to be on quite the same cycle, but tell us a little bit about what kind of trends we're seeing in terms of width and shaping.
Sure. I think the most recent thing that we saw was, you know, the rocker profiles of skis, where you have traditional camber underfoot and early rise in the tip and tail. They're refining those shapes now, as well as starting to play with certain side cuts. There's a couple of brands that have done really cool things with the way that the shape of the ski is. In fact, one brand to point out, if that's okay, Vogel,
sure.
Uses what they're calling a 3D side cut, where the side cut under the foot is actually a tighter radius than it is at the tip and the tail. So you've got, say, a 15 to 17 meter radius side cut underneath the foot, mm-hmm. but then it goes out to 21 or 22 at both the tip and tail. That allows the really aggressive skier, if he knows how to push and bend a ski, to really tighten up that turn radius and ride both edges if he wants to. But at the same time, it can do long, drawn-out GS turns. It just makes the turn shape a lot more versatile. And then the, let's say, weekend warrior, intermediate-level skier who's not quite linking two, you know, full-edge carved turns together, he can still slide the skis around very easily. They're less catchy, and they're less grabby.
Every year, there's at least one or two hot skis that sell out by January.
Sure.
Any prediction as to what that's going to be from your shop this year?
There's a couple of them this year. There's two skis we've been seeing check out pretty well so far. One is the new Mantra 102. That's a Vogel ski. And the second would be the new Enforcer 104. And those numbers, 102 and 104, that represents the waist width. So these are 100-plus skis, which years ago we would have thought that was way too big of a powder ski. But they've made these shapes are so cool now that you can ski that thing almost every single day without feeling it in your knees, without having that, you know, pressure and strain that you get from skiing a wider ski, and that's all because of the shapes that these guys are producing now.
So you've got a lot of knowledge in this space, Roger. I don't know. I've been skiing 40 plus years now. I assume it's
close.
Pretty similar for you as well. And I've always wondered why it took so long to get to shaped skis.
That is a very good question, and definitely, you know, snowboarding was the one that gave us shapes. We owe a lot of credit to Jake Burton and the snowboarding industry for the shapes that we see in skis today. They were the ones that pioneered it first, and then we sort of took on that whole idea and concept back in, God, was it the mid-90s, I think, was when we first saw that K24 and the Elan SCX. And if you remember, the Elan SCX was a true parabolic ski where the tip and the tail were the same width, and you'd lay that thing over on edge, and you couldn't get out of the turn because the tail needed to be a little bit narrower. You'd end up pointing uphill if you were laying a full double-edge turn into it. But we've adapted and come a long way since.
Now, has Kohl's ever carried snowboards, or is that something you stayed away from?
Well, we have a snowboard shop up at the base of the hill. It's called Bazookas.
Is that Bazookas? Okay. Yep. And what's going on in the snowboard shaping industry? What's new and different there, if anything?
There's definitely one of the bigger things is the snow surfer boards. That's been the biggest advancement I think we've seen recently. But, they play with shapes, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Burton step on system has certainly been one of the newest and latest and greatest things we've seen in snowboard, and we sell out of those things before December.
Let's stay on that for a minute, because one of the things snowboarding is increasingly popular with, shall I say, older skiers, older riders.
Sure.
And one of the things they don't like to do is sit on their butts to put the binding on.
Right.
So the idea that you could get a performance step in is something that I know has been worked on a great deal in the last few years, and the Burton system is really allows you a fairly high level of control.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen step-in, step-on bindings over the years, but they've never been quite as good as your traditional strap binding. And Burton definitely has now manufactured something or put together a system that works just as well.
Just as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and back in the day, I learned to snowboard 20 years ago, and they had step-ins there. And I believe it was a local person, Rick Alden, of Skull Candy fame.
Yeah.
That was one of the founders. It was called Device. That's what it was,
okay.
Device. They don't make those anymore, but the step-ins are a beautiful thing. I've always had this, the non-straps, but they weren't at the level that they're at now. What about here in town? What are you seeing economically? It seems to me like the economy's doing well. We're seeing a lot more visitors. People are willing to invest in their equipment. Are you seeing that? Or the last couple of years have been really strong, I would imagine?
Absolutely. And definitely with the influx of our people moving here from other areas. I mean, I can't tell you how many people tell me they're a local and they just moved here from San Francisco 2 months ago, And it's, but with all those people coming to town, and certainly with the economy doing what it is today, everybody's picking up new stuff. Where this time of year, we normally would just sell to instructors or patrollers and things like that. We have more and more families coming in October and November, picking up full packages for their houses out here now and for their kids. And it's great for us, for business. Selfishly, it's a little crowded on the hill, but it's certainly good for business.
Okay, we have been talking to Michael Strawn, the head hard goods buyer at Kohl's Sport, somebody who probably has one of the best jobs in America, because I bet he spends the early part of the year testing out all the next year's skis. We're all jealous.
Don't tell anybody.
Thanks for spending some time with us on Mountain Money. We'll be right back after this.